Church, you guys ready to worship today with me? Get on up.
So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole world with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Amazing grace.
This is unfailing love.
for me.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory,
who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
How you doing?
Good.
Wayne, you got anything to say?
I don't know. Just getting tired of the news. It's like it's the last Sunday before this nation changes. So, you know, I think we'd kind of thinking about how we're gonna go forward after this next election. I don't know. So I just keep praying for this nation. You know, keep praying that these are godly leaders that are going to take us into the next 4 years. You know, I just. Makes me very nervous, but you know, and I find it odd that we pray for one person. We pray for like one president. We don't think about all the underground, the Congress people, the senators, all those folks that are underneath the president. So pray for everybody that leads this country and leads this, even our county. You know, just I don't know. That's kind of where I am. I think this next song is one song I think that all these folks that are running for office should sing every day. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You know, don't love the fact that you're a politician and you can make decisions and change people's lives for the worse or better, you know, just, you know, our commander-in-chief is God. And that's what I believe.
Amen.
All right, let's start with prayer today. Sound like a plan?
Yeah.
All right, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you bring us here today. Once again, you can feel it in the air that there's just something there, God, that there's nervousness, there's excitement, there's and sometimes frustration, there's just exhaustion or whatever. But God, we know that you are the source of our strength and you are our light and our salvation. And so let us focus on you. Let us just let all that stuff set aside as we just focus and worship you. In Christ's name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen.
All right, let's lift it up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
I will love you.
Let's hear it.
Now, I don't know about you, but that was good, but we can do better, right? So we're gonna pick it up with the bridge again, all right? Got me? So we're going to pick up with the instrumental, Wayne, right there at the bottom. Got that, guys? And then we're going to go through I Will Love You. I want you to rock the rooftops here, okay? Ready? Here we go. Oh, better than that.
I will praise you. I will praise you.
I will serve you.
Here's
your last chance.
I will trust you.
I will trust
with all my heart. With all my mind, with all my strength, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind,
oh, with all my strength, yeah.
I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With
all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind,
with all my strength.
There you go.
Now don't stop there. Now's your chance to sing it from the rooftops. I know you guys can do it. Let's lift it up today. your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you I freely live, my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God, I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your name, from the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours, I am yours. All the good you've done for me, I lift up my hands for all to see. You're the only one who brings me to my knees to share this love across the earth, the beauty of your holy word. So I stand before you, God, I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your name, from the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. Proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I have, all that I am, a place into your loving hands, and I am yours. I am yours. One more time. So I'll shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours, Jesus, I am yours. All that I am, a place into your loving hands, and I am yours. I am yours.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you that though the earth shall shake and the mountains will fall into the sea, your love remains. That everything that we have, that we can recognize that no matter what happens in this world, that I am yours because of my relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. And that we're just passing through, God. And so I just ask that you just use the rest of this time for us to just be a light and just focus on you and just to have you speak words of just what you want us to hear into our ears, into our hearts, into our minds, and into our community and our world, that God, we may change this world for your son, Jesus Christ. For this and all things, we just ask you and give you praise as we shout from the rooftops. We shout your name in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. All right, say hi to somebody as their children are going to Shoreline Sunday School Ministry. All right, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I got some people on this side who are a little bit more with it. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right. I was hoping we didn't lose all our vibrance with our kids leaving today. But good to have you all here today. I want to welcome those who are part of our church online today as part of being here. So if you're visiting with us, hopefully you received a card from one of our greeters. And if you'll fill that out, take that back to this section back here, you can go ahead. And we have a small gift thanking you for being part of our worship today. But we're just glad that you're here. We are in, I think, week 7 or something like that, 6 or 7. I lost track of really what you really want to know. And so we've been answering major questions. Today we kind of added one in the midst of it, and today's going to be called And the Winner Is. So you're going to see how good I am today. All right, so we're going to talk about that as part of our worship today. But we do welcome you and are glad that you're here, whether here in person or part of our online church. If you want to become a member of Haven next Sunday, we're going to have a Haven 101 after class. If you want to sign up for that, please feel free to do so. Sunday prayer time, again, they're meeting for that if you'd like to join that group and pray before church. Disciple, there's clipboard by some people, right? It says Disciple 2. I don't know if it's going to be 2 or 3 or something like one of them, but it's going to be a Disciple class, not the first one. We're going to do one of the different ones. And so if you're interested in that, please sign up. We've got a good number of people that are already signing up for that, and we will go ahead and we're going to work out a schedule and put that together. It's a great opportunity, number one, to learn and grow in the Lord. Number two, it's a great opportunity to connect to other people, and that's just a really awesome experience. And you can grow. So the one here it says Genesis and Exodus, and we do too. And then there's some other ones that I'm looking at, but we're going to go through an in-depth study. Next youth event, bring a friend and lock them in. So if you bring somebody you don't like, lock them in, okay? Go ahead and do that. But for 6th to 12th grade, Friday the 11th, 6 p.m. till Saturday at 10 a.m., oh, Teresa, God bless you. You're awesome. But that's awesome. No, our youth are doing some awesome stuff, and thanks to Teresa and her crew that are helping with that. But you can see that information. Bring a friend. It's a great time to spend time together, and you can see the information that's in your bulletin, or you can check online. That would be a great opportunity to have that. We're going to talk about Operation Christmas Child in just a bit. Thanksgiving box drives are underway, and so we need them between October 30th and November 20th, and you can see the stuff that's there if you want to go ahead. Anything else we need to add to that? Okay. So volunteers the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're going to need some people to help out, grab some stuff. And is that the day they're going? Saturday? The Saturday before they're going to be going to Walmart. And last year we were able to get a whole bunch more for the goodness of people to give. And so if you want to help out to that, please go ahead and you can contact there as well. Parish Foundation on the 20th, getting pizza this time because they're going to be turkeyed out, right? They're going to be lots of turkey and stuffing, so we always kind of give them something different. If you'd like to contribute to that or be part of that, there's sign-ups in the Bell Cafe back here if you want to go ahead and contribute there as well. Also, I want to say Operation Christmas Child, I threw out the number 250, right? And we were all a little nervous about that because I run my mouth before I think. What is our total right now, Liz? 309. Awesome. So that's fantastic. So you know what I'm going to do next year. I'm going to throw out a bigger number. I just got to do it. So 309. There's still time to bring them. Right? When are you finally taking them?
I'm going to deliver them on November
15th, but they have until the morning of November 21st. Okay, so November 15th, but the morning of November 21st. Okay, so we'll say the 20th drop dead date. So okay, but that's awesome, right? And so what we're going to do right now, we're going to pray for these boxes right now, and just whoever they're going to go to, that they'll change lives. All right, bow with me in prayer. Lord God, we just want to thank you. I want to thank you for opening my big mouth. You made a jackass talk in the Bible, and you did it again. And so we want to thank you for that, God. And so right now, you know, we were thinking low, but God, you tell us. When we aim high, I mean, we didn't think we'd get 250, and God, we are almost to 310, pretty much, and that's amazing. And so I want to thank you, God, because these are not just boxes and stuff that's filled. This, each one of these represents a life, 310-plus lives that are going to receive something today. As Gene, who was here the other week, talked about, they had to turn people away. And I thank you, God, that this year, 160 more people from this church, kids, that 160 more that are going to receive something that maybe have been turned away last year, that are going to be touched and maybe come to know you in an intimate and personal way. And for that, I want to thank you for everybody who's been giving to this. God, where these boxes go, just reach those young people, reach those kids, and just let them know that you love them and that they have people all the way across the world who've never met them that just love them because they're yours. And so, God, send your anointing upon them through all the travels that these go through, that when they get in those hands, it'll be a joyous, joyous day. And for that, we give you praise. I want to thank you for Liz and her leadership and others that have put this together. And, God, ultimately, we just want to thank you for causing us to be the hands and feet, your hands and feet in this world. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Awesome. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's just a fantastic thing there, all right? Okay, we have some prayers that we want to lift up today. Bill has asked for prayers for Donna and family, her aunt Dot, who passed away. Rhonda Elkins has a praise. Her sight is improving, and she wants to thank the Lord for that. All right, so do we have any other prayer requests you want to lift up? Yes, Lynn. Okay, so P.J. Smith is having surgery again for cancer. We want to lift P.J. up in your prayers. All right, so we want to go ahead and do that. Any others? What? I need some tests this week, but so far so good. So I was bored on Friday and decided to go to the hospital. So, but I'm here, so we're all good. All right? So just keep praying for me and everybody else. All right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, as we come to this time where we receive your tithe and our offerings, before that, God, we just want to stop and we want to just thank you for what an awesome God you are and what you mean to us and to so many others. At this season and this time of year, it's hard to believe, God, that we are already here in November, not really fully realizing what happened to the year, and now we're probably panicking on what we haven't got done. And so whatever it is, God, it'll wait. We are also facing an election, and we all get kind of nervous when those things happen, but as we're reminded, God, you are in control of all things. And so during this time, I just ask that you'll just give us your peace and your guidance and your direction in our lives. And God, also, we lifted up many in prayer. Those who have experienced loss of loved ones. Those who are having praises for having your healing presence be with them. Those who are still struggling with tests and other kinds of things, unsure of what's going on. But whatever it may be, God, you are in control. And so we hand our lives over to you. Some of us have as we look back on 2016, it's been a mix. For some of us, this may have been the most joyous, fantastic year of our lives. For others of us, it may have been the most tragic and depressing and upsetting part of our lives. But God, you were with us all the way, and help us to just lean on you all the more. And so God, as we move to this point of where we receive your tithe and our offerings, we realize that we have so many, in the midst of all our struggles and our trials, we have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes we just don't stop to say thank you. It's always amazing to me that in our world, all you have to do is go into a store and we skip from Halloween to Christmas without even thinking about Thanksgiving except for a turkey and stuffing in there. And God, how much of a representative in life that we spend much of our lives wearing masks to hide what's really going on underneath and just jump to a place where we try to be happy, we try to be festive, and we try to receive, and we try to give. But all that while just stopping to just stop and give thanks. So at this point in our service, God, this is the time for us to do that. Time for us to just stop the world around us and give thanks to you through your tithe and our offerings. Multiply and bless these gifts, not for us, not for us to hoard up, but for us to give back to you and to be used for your kingdom and your glory. For this and all things, God, we ask in your name. Amen.
This song is a good song for this week. As you're facing indecision and not sure what to do, this basically reminds us that God said if we pray, he will hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. So join with me in singing You Said.
Let's stand up, because I think this song is a heart's cry. It's a heart cry for this nation to be healed, you know, and this is how, you know, I think we need a revival. We just need to revive this nation and say, you know, God, you know, you're in control. Please heal our land, you know, just take away that stress and anxiety of this whole election process, you know, just don't worry about it, you know, it's in God's hands.
You said, ask and you will receive. Whatever you need, you said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land. You said, your glory will fill the earth like water the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. Shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. You said your glory will fill the earth like water the sea. Lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will sing your light. To you, oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on
sing it out.
Oh Lord, I ask for the nations. Oh Lord, I ask for the nations. Oh Lord, I ask for the nations.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
Have questions. Questions like, why is it called a building if it's already built? Why is there no egg in eggplant? And do penguins have knees? But some questions are more important than others. Questions like, how do I hear God's voice? How can I deal with difficult people? What does the Bible say about forgiveness and heaven? And what's the answer for all of my stress? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan.
All right. How you doing? Okay. All right. So here we are. Isn't the weather been weird? I just hope it's not like 70 degrees again on Christmas. That was really weird last year. Remember that? And of course, it'll be snowing and we'll be griping. I wish it was 70 degrees like last year. Okay. So, all right. So today we're continuing. It's week 7 of our And You Wanted to Know. And this is week 7. That's hard to believe because I remember looking at it and saying, okay, we'll do this. And then, believe it or not, we'll be getting closer to Thanksgiving. And we are getting very close to Thanksgiving. And isn't that like one of the greatest holidays? Like, you don't really have to do much but eat. It's such an American holiday. Eat, get fat, sit around, watch football, watch parades. You know, if you ever came from outer space and watched people watching parades, you'd wonder, what is wrong with these people, right? Or football, for that matter. So, all right, so here we are. This week, we've got an election. Does anybody know about that? Anybody heard anything about this? So, there's something going on. So, how many of you, and I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to be honest, okay? How many of you, if you're honest, have actually enjoyed the drama and the chaos of this political election? Anybody? There we go. Okay, there's some of you that are as demented as I am. How many of you cannot wait for it to be over? How many are so afraid that, like I am, that after Tuesday it's not going to be over? Yeah, there we go. All right. How many would say, I just can't stand it? As a matter of fact, I hate everything about it. Raise your hand. You know, you got to love, like, the political ads. Like, it might be Jim Davis kicked his cat one day, and they have like a little thing, you know, all these things, they come up when he was in the third grade, you know, it's like, I don't know where they get this stuff. It's crazy. But, and when that topic comes up, how many of you get a little bit nervous? A little bit of agitated because you know something's going to call, it's going to be a fight. How many of you, like me, like to bring it up? All right, there we go. Okay. We'll meet for lunch afterwards. All right. How many, let me ask you, how many of you have watched all the debates, the presidential debates? The three of them. The three presidential debates. Anybody watched all of them? How many watched the vice presidential debate? How many watched all the primary debates? Oh, wow. You guys are really sick. Okay, there we go. How many of you right now said debates? What's a debate? All right, there we go. We have some of them. So this one's going to be a personal question. I'm not going to ask for your response after that. But just... what's he allergic to over there? Everybody's allergic to Lisa. Okay, here we go. But how many of you, let me ask you this. You don't have to, don't shout out who it is or anything, but how many of you have already made up your mind? Leave it. All right. Didn't I say don't shout it out? Okay. All right. All right. So anyway. Okay, here we go. So many of you have already made up your minds. We know one who's really made up their mind. Okay. How many of you think that churches and preachers should stay away from all things political? Raise your hand. But how many of you came anyway today? All right, good. Okay, I'm going to tell you, I've got a challenge for you today. All right, if you're watching online, maybe that's where people are. They're afraid of what's going to happen. But I've got a challenge for you today because I believe that you're pretty intelligent people for the most part. Okay, all right. So, and by the way, if you're not a Christian or if you don't say, I'm not really, I don't know if I classify myself, it's a good day to be watching or to be connected here because we're going to do some stuff and we're going to look at something that Jesus said that you actually agree with, most people agree with, and many, if you're not a Jesus follower, may not even if you're not a Jesus follower, you agree with it, and you may just say, I've heard that, and I think that's kind of cool, and you may not have recognized that it was for Jesus. But my challenge is really to Christians, okay? So here's my challenge to Christians. I want to challenge you, and this is the first thing on your sheet today. I want to challenge you to put your faith ahead of your politics, all right? To be a Christ follower, first, and to be a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or Independent, second. Whatever your political views are, I want you to submit them to your faith and your Christian values. Now, one reason to do this is very simple. Okay, I'm going to give you this. One reason is extremely simple. It's because when nobody dies, they don't spend eternity in Washington, D.C. Do I get an amen? All right. That's one of the main reasons. And But others of us may say, man, this might be really difficult because I'm really passionate about it. Probably the ones who bring it up, you raise your hand, you say, this is kind of really difficult here. Because there will be some point in your life or your conversation that you will be wanted to persuade to put that out there, the politics out there, before you put the faith out there. So I want to share something with you. I have been a pastor for 20 years, and in 20 years, I have been in some of the most difficult situations with people. I've been at the deathbed with many people. I've been in tragedy where they've lost loved ones. And I will tell you, I have never in my life, when someone is dying, ever say to me, Jack, can you recite the preamble of the Constitution for me? In the Schoolhouse Rock version. Now, I'm not going to minimize that because that's good, but I can do it for you. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The United States of America. See? And Mr. Biggs, God rest his soul, will be proud of me because I learned that, thankfully, from Schoolhouse Rock, right? Anybody remember Schoolhouse Rock? And I remember that. But I have never, ever had somebody dying or somebody say, could you please include that in my funeral? Never. Could you please read all the Bill of Rights so I can feel more calm about passing on? No one has ever done that in my life. I'm not going to minimize the importance of that at all, but I want to share with you that we all get very cranked up about political things. But at the end of the day, there are more important things. At the end of the day, your faith is really more important than anything else. And even though I'm challenging you to put your faith above your politics, I'm not saying not to have an opinion. You need to have an opinion. Jack Cohen has an opinion. Jack Cohen has opinions about absolutely everything. If you just ask him, he will tell you. Sometimes if you don't want to know, he will tell you. Every week you come up and you hear him, he has opinions. And he has things. There you go. All right? It's okay. It's okay to yell at the TV. How many yelling at the TV? All right. It's okay to yell at the TV, but don't just yell at the TV. If you have kids around, stop and explain to them why you're yelling at the TV. I'm not suggesting at all that Christians should vote a particular candidate or that all Christians should be in a political party or particular ideology. All I'm saying is I'm challenging you to put your faith and your convictions ahead of your faith and your politics. For many of you, you're sitting here right now saying, I'm glad he's doing this because some of these people around here need to know what's going on because they're dumb as a stick. But I want to tell you, this is for you too, because we are in a point now where it's not about really what's important. It's about all the other stuff. It's about people who were good friends. Remember the primaries, how everybody hated each other? And now they're best buddies within the same parties. It's like something I remember. There was a lifelong Republican, and he was a diehard Republican, and he was getting close to his deathbed. And at his deathbed, he called in the election judge and other people, and he went ahead and he said, "I want to change from being a Republican to a Democrat." And people were shocked. They were amazed. They were blown away. And they said, "You have been a Republican almost your whole entire life. Why are you doing this now?" He said, "Well, I'd rather one of them die than one of us." All right? This is where we end up now in our lives, right? So many times we don't care about stuff, but we don't care about people. We get so focused on the stuff around it that we want to do this. There are, you know, very few of us see any conflict already between our faith and our politics and the way we argue. Some people right now are saying, the reason why I'm a Republican is because I'm a Christian. And other people are saying, I'm a Democrat because of my Christian faith. I mean, faith is my primary filter. It's the reason I decided to leave a political party and to go to a different one. Or it's one that I decided not to accept either one of them, but to remain independent. My faith and my politics are together, Jack. How can I put one over the other? And people do it all the time. For instance, you say, I'm a Republican. And of course, I'm putting my faith first. The Bible says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So obviously, Jesus is on the right. So he must be a Republican. God and Jesus are Republicans because he sat down at the right. And in the New Testament, there's actually some evidence for that. In the New Testament, when Jesus called Matthew, in some areas he's called a tax collector, which is also called a publican, which, it's close. A Republican, a publican, it's close. So I am a Republican and everyone else is sinners and my faith and my politics are completely together. But you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I'm a Democrat. And if I'm a Democrat, wait a second here. Are you kidding me? Get real. Come on. Jesus, everywhere he went, was dispensing free health care. He didn't turn anyone away. He didn't charge them a dime. People lined up for hours, and he was just a health care dispensing machine. Jesus was all, and don't forget, Jesus was always getting on the case of that top 1%. Those rich people, he was always on them. He said that the rich people can't even enter heaven because they're poking themselves in the eye with a needle or something like that. I don't know. But it's in there. It's in the Bible. Democratic values. Jesus was a Democrat. Think about it. Because look at this. Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember that? And they collected extra food. And I want you to look at what it says here. You got to look. It's kind of buried in there, but you got to look. They all ate and were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces were leftovers. You see, it's on the left. They put them on the left. Leftover. So Jesus is a Democrat on the left, right? You're a libertarian. And you're like, wait, time out. You both got this one wrong. You know, the most famous verse in the New Testament is John 3:16, but this other one is also very, very familiar in the New Testament. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what?
Free.
Free. That means liberated. That's libertarian. And let's not, if you don't believe me, I'll build on it some more. The rich young ruler. Everybody's heard of that deal. The rich young ruler. And the scripture says he sent the rich young ruler away and the rich young ruler went away sad. So what you have is you have somebody who rules. And when you have rules, you're sad. And Jesus doesn't like rulers or rules. So that's why he's a libertarian. And the apostle Paul actually said in 1 Thessalonians, work hard with your own hands. And this is from the Bible. Mind your own business. That means mind your own business. That's a libertarian. Paul was a libertarian. We've got this down. All right, anybody? I've offended everybody now, okay? I just want to make sure. All right? What I want to tell you is this. No matter what stance you are, if you take your politics and you put your faith to it, you can make it be whatever you want. But when you put your faith up there first, everything goes through that lens of your relationship with Christ. And so, the main point that I want to share with you today is when it comes to putting your faith before politics, it's not enough to say Bible first and politics second. It's more than that. You can make any political stance, the Bible match up with it. When it comes to this political season, everybody wants Jesus on their side. Jesus didn't come to take sides, though. He came to take over. Amen. And so many of us are so caught up in Jesus being this and Jesus being that, that we forget that I need to be who Jesus is, not him on my agenda. For us to get this right, we need to actually approach things the way Jesus approached them. In other words, we need to do something that Jesus did. And Jesus did one thing specifically that we can all do. It's so easy and simple, and it's so transformational. And this is the first thing. Jesus put people first by putting first what's best for them. Jesus put people first by putting first what's best for them. He put all that other stuff that was around them second. And what's best for them was simply this, Jesus. He said, I'm what's best for you. Jesus always put what's best for people first. You know, we can disagree. We can disagree, and we will, and we should. We can disagree about what's best for people, but we cannot disagree that what's best for people is what is absolutely the best. Name any of the things that we debate in our world, in our nation today, which side or which version is best for people, and we can go back and forth and back and forth. But what's best for people is best. And then when you read the Gospels very clearly, what's best for people is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not the globe, but the people in it. That he so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to pay the ultimate price on behalf, to die on behalf of them, the people of the world. Jesus loved people and he put people first. And the thing, if you look, that drove Jesus absolutely insane and crazy was when people used religious law to hurt people. And Jesus would say, no, you got it backwards here. He said several times, no, Sabbath is, you're not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for you. These laws were not made for the laws. You weren't made for the laws. The laws were made for you to have a relationship with God, the Father. You've got it backwards here. And you know, people couldn't get over it. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, when we look here in Matthew 22, and I challenge you to read the whole chapter. When you look at Matthew 22 at the beginning, you have the Sadducees who are trying to go ahead, and they were ruling bodies. There were two Jewish bodies, and they had a different view on the afterlife, the resurrection of the dead. Sadducees, no. The Pharisees, yes. And so what began to happen is they were the ruling body, and Jesus was causing some problems. Because he was making things a little bit of friction that was going on here. And so the Sadducees first tried to trip Jesus up, and then what began to happen is then the Pharisees decided to go ahead and come up. And so they came to him and they said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? They didn't care. They just wanted to see if he messed up. And you've heard me say this before, those of you who've been here for a while, and he said this. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. It's the first and the greatest commandment. Now, I don't know about you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And this is the first greatest commandment. You can even add your mind and everything else in there. There's a lot of wiggle room in there. Because guess what? I can't see. Wow, look at the way they're loving God. Look at that. Look at their heart really loving God. Look at that soul. I see you. You got some soul. Soul's going for God. I can't tell. It's so internal. There's all kinds of wiggle room. Like, for instance, if you ask any political candidate, for the most part, if you ask any of them, every single candidate, if you say, hey, do you know or do you have a relationship with God? They're going to say yes. You're dumb if you don't. Remember we went through the statistic when 80, 90% of the people believe in a higher power. You're dumb to say no, all right? Do you love God with all your heart? Well, to the best of my ability, I guess. Do you love him with all your soul? Well, I don't know what that really is, but yeah. Do you love him with all your mind? Yeah, sure. I think about God. I'm good here. How can I possibly challenge that somebody loves God from that? I can't tell. And it leaves a lot of wiggle room if we just throw that out here like this. But look at it continues, and Jesus says this. Before they even get another word, when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and he said, the second is like it. In other words, Jesus says, shh, I'm not finished. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, strength. I'm not done. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It just got a lot more difficult because now the Republicans are supposed to love the Democrats. The Democrats are supposed to love the Republicans as themselves. Fox News is supposed to love MSNBC. MSNBC is supposed to love somebody. You with me? It just got more difficult. Because I can say on the inside what I want. I can have it. But I can't treat everybody the way I please. Jesus says, what's more important to me is that you love God than if you love God on the inside, is that you demonstrate it, your love for God, on the outside to everybody else. That's what I want to see. I know a tree by its fruit. You demonstrate your love for God. And here's what he said. This is on your sheet. You demonstrate your love for God by the way you treat other people. Demonstrate your love for God, heart, soul, and mind by the way you treat other people. Boy, this stinks, doesn't it? We can debate what's best for people, but as Christians, but what's best for people is loving them as Jesus loved them. Look at what it says in verse 40 and verse 39 and 40. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And look at this verse, 40. All the law, how much of the law? All the law. Do you realize at this point in first century, they had 600 religious laws. 600 that you had to follow. Plus a whole bunch of other stuff they had to live by. So he said, all the law and everything in the prophets, not only prophets, anybody ever read any of the prophets? How'd you like to memorize all that? This is up and this is down. And they're, one's happy, one's bad, one's this and that. And you got to memorize those 600 laws. And what Jesus, I believe, is really saying is if you forget everything else, because you're not going to remember 600 laws, you're not going to remember all the things the prophet said. But here's what I want. I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version, or for those of you who are new or younger, Spark Notes. I'm giving you a Spark Notes version. Here it is. Here's what you do. All that stuff, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. That's all that stuff. That's all of it. All the law, all the prophets are wrapped into that. It's important that you love and demonstrate that love. We demonstrate the way we love God by how we treat the people who are created in the image of God. Do you realize that politics, the basics for the term politics, comes from the Greek term polis, which means where we get our term city, which actually comes from the citizens of an area. It's about people. And if you want to keep your faith in front of your politics, you better put people in front of your politics. Just imagine if everybody in the USA, Christian or not, decided, I am going to consistently love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to do for others as I would want done for me. If every single person did that from the primaries till election day and forward, our mission would feel different and our whole nation would feel different. And the election process would be eerily fun and less chaotic. Many of our laws would absolutely be irrelevant. TV coverage would be different. Fox News and CNN would be speaking lovingly to each other. If you don't like our broadcast, turn over to Wolf Blitzer. If you don't like that, turn over to Bill O'Reilly. Oh, isn't it loving? I love you, Bill. Love you too. Can you imagine how ridiculous that would be if people just loved one another? Panelists, I got to tell you, it's our TV has become like a Jerry Springer show. You got people there just yelling at each other. And I'm like, why am I watching this? I get so amped up now. I might want to punch somebody, right? Panelists would wish well-being and wouldn't interrupt and say, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Continue your point. Oh, thank you for sharing. That really touched my heart. And I got to tell you this. If everybody loved one another as they loved themselves, here's the real game changer. It doesn't matter who the president is. It wouldn't matter one bit if we loved one another, because it would be a game changer. You see, it's so simple, but it's also so difficult. How did this nation get so far from the principles that we started with? Think about your choices and behavior. For instance, let's think about our choices and behavior. Why do you do what you do? I know why I do what I do. If I do something, like for instance, have you ever looked at somebody and say, what in the world are they doing? Or, I have no idea what you're doing. Have you ever looked at somebody and just gone, what is wrong with you? Why did you say that? Why? Here's the thing. Do you ever do something and you go, I don't know why I'm doing this right now. I have no clue. No, you know, it makes sense. What you do makes sense to you. What you think makes sense to you. What your political view makes sense to you because you know. You have that life experience. You have those things that you go through, so you understand why you believe the way you do. And guess what? Everybody's behavior makes sense to them. Everybody's choices make sense to them. Every person you meet, everybody you see on TV, everybody you hear on the internet, everybody who types something on social media, everybody who puts something down, who says something, it makes sense to them. And your political sense and your things make sense to you. If somebody says, why would you vote for him or her? Or why would you support that? Or why are you so upset about this thing? Or why would you ever post that on social media, that video, that article, that thing? You just made me mad. Because your political views make sense to you and theirs make sense to them. So here's the lesson. When you don't know and you wonder how could somebody do something or believe something or could support a person or have such a view, here's the reason why. Because there's something you don't know. And one of the best things that you can do in this political season and in life is when you find yourself in one of those heated conversations and starting to get an attitude and you're ready to grab somebody around the neck to set them straight, take time to listen and you'll learn something. Even if you don't change, you'll learn something. Look at what James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Imagine how that would change our television. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Can you imagine that if that was the debates? Why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I got to tell you, this is stepping all over me. How many like to be slow to speak? How many like to be quick to speak? You know, sometimes we don't even hear the argument or what somebody's going to say because we're already working our point counterpoint, right? And usually when we are getting up what we're going to speak about, we get so angry and we want to, hit them with it. But look at that verse 20, because human anger does not produce a righteousness that God desires. Let me tell you, if you think that you don't need to learn something, you're one of three things. You're arrogant, you're insecure, or you're God. If you're God, please come up. I want to sit down and you can straighten all this mess out for us. And if you were God, I needed you the other night in the hospital. Where were you? All right? So I'm going to tell you, guess what? You're not God, so we're either one of two, arrogant or insecure. And if there's something in us that we get so cranked up in this election that we can't stop to listen and learn something new, then that's a problem with me. It's not a problem with whoever's putting it out there. If you're a Christian, I got to say this. If you're a Christian, we should be the most confident people that walk the face of the earth. I mean, if you believe in what the Bible says, you should have a swagger in your walk, a swagger in your life. You should be the most confident people that walk the face of the earth. Because if you believe that eternity is set in your heart through faith in Jesus Christ, you should have some confidence. We should be confident, and we should also be the most curious people that walk the face of the earth, because God provided this, and the earth is the fullness of the Lord, so that, you know, if we go through it, we can learn something about it while we're here, because that this what I learned is scripture tells us that when we go into heaven, that we will be known fully, even as we're fully known. We get to know all this stuff that we don't know, but it's kind of fun figuring it out now, because God gave us a brain to use. So we should be confident and curious. We should be learners. And above all, because God has given us a brain to learn, we should never be threatened by anything, because it helps reveal us more about God when we learn more. And I got to tell you, as I read the scripture, Jesus was never, ever threatened by anybody. Ever, ever by anybody. Throughout the history of the church has had this kind of conflict with science. So much so that if I had my study Bible, which is back here, it was an NIV study Bible, which is one of the Bibles that I love. When we do a study on Job, and we look and they talk about the behemoth, and they talk about he had a tail like a tree trunk, and all this kind of stuff. Very scholarly men and women who went through this thing put down there that they think it might have been either an elephant or a hippopotamus. My kids, when they were 2 years old, could tell the front and the back of an elephant. All right? Have you seen the hippopotamus's tail? It ain't a hippopotamus, it's not an elephant. What is it? It's probably a dinosaur. One that science has excavated. Why are we afraid to say that in the body of Christ? Where scripture actually interprets science and science scripture. Why are we afraid of that? At a point, God gave us a brain to use. Let's use it. Let's use it in our lives so we can see how awesome this world is that God created. We should be the most confident, curious people to see how God made things. And we should also be the most compassionate people because we know that it's without the grace of God that we should go to hell. And that doesn't mean, hear me, that does not mean that we shouldn't have an opinion. And it doesn't mean that we don't believe in something passionately. As believers, when we respond, remember that we have an opportunity and a responsibility to impact that individual or people for Christ. So as we wrap this up today, I'm going to give you three ways to remain engaged. And I've looked around, I've gotten a lot of sources, a lot of help with this. And the first one, you're going to have to add another thing there. But when you're in the middle of a heated thing with somebody and you feel like you're ready to retreat, walk away, or you're ready to punch somebody, here's what you do. Ask them this question. What led you to that view? What led you to believe that? And here's the importance, because we are usually so focused, like I said, on getting that point out, like a right cross or a jab, like we're in a boxing match, that we never stop to say, wait a second, how'd you come to that? We may have our minds made up, but when we ask what led you, we're asking about the process and we're asking about that individual. We're not asking about the opinion, but we've opened the door for someone to tell their story. And when you open the door for someone to tell their story, you learn about them. And I got to tell you, there's been people in my life who just rub me the wrong way. But when I've taken time to hear their story, I begin to have a compassion I never did for them. I begin to have a like for them that I never had before because I understand where they came from. Now you begin to appreciate the person for who they are, not loathe them for what they stand for and the opinions that they have. It's number one. Number two, ask them this question. Have you always seen things this way? Now we're talking about something that goes beyond politics. If you're a Christian, you're going to really hate this. You're going to hate this next verse because I know you're going to not like this because in the New Testament, we're told not to gossip and not to say negative things. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Ouch! On fire up here. Anybody with me? All right. Don't let anything unwholesome. That stinks. I don't like that term unwholesome. That's, talk about vague. I got a lot of things that are on the real unwholesome thing that come out of this mouth. Anybody with me? Or you just let me up here burn by myself? All right, there we go. All right, you ready to go? You guys haven't got this love your neighbor as yourself thing yet, have you? All right. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only, everybody say, but only. What is helpful for building up, everybody say, building up. Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know how much nonsense I've heard come out of people's mouths over this election? All the parties have enough nonsense. I'm just talking about all the stuff around it is so much stuff that is, none of this is building us up as a country. None of it is building us up as individuals. Right? It's all tearing us down. It's dividing us. Number three. Here's one here. This one, how many like to get some zingers in on people every once in a while? Here you go. You're going to like this one then. Here we go. It's kind of a zinger, but it's coming. You got to send it from the right place. So when it's really getting to a point, and you know how people say, well, I know that he and I know that she and I was, she did back in, You know this? They put on, they said, like this. You say, most of my information comes from the media. What about you? Right? Because the truth is, none of us really know what we're talking about. Am I right? We have ideas, but none of us really knows. The only thing that we know is what others have told us, what others have written for us, what others have posted up. And this is the election of social media where everything is up there. Right? If I believed everything I saw, I'm thinking my neighbor should be arrested right now, right? I'm starting to wonder about me. None of us really know. With the great amount of media outlets that we have compared to other places in the world, it is awesome. I was undergraduate journalism, and I love journalistic media. I think it's awesome. But I also recognize that I only know what I choose to know and who's telling me it. And somewhere in between that, I've had people, I've had relationships break up, and I got to tell you, there are three sides to every story. If it's a marriage, it's his, it's hers, and the truth. And that is consistent in everything that I found in my life. The point is, we all get most of our information from similar sources. We know mostly what we're told, and we learn it by who's telling it and the way they're telling it. And so for us, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's all bad to know this, but what I'm saying is for us to create, to have issues which are based on limited knowledge and to create a division there and to lose our witness and our testimony because of something that has been passed down maybe 15 times by the time we got it is actually ridiculous as a Christian. So as we wind this down today, and you're thinking this is the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life, here's some things that I want to say. Should you have an opinion? Yes. God gave you a brain to use. Use it and do what you need to do with it. Should you argue your point? Yes, appropriately and absolutely, because other people need to learn from you as you need to learn from them. Should you make a point at the expense of impact or relationship with people? Never, ever, ever. And I'll tell you the biblical scripture for that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" We live in a time now, and I work with young people all the time and have for several years, whether it be coaching or teaching or whatever. And I can tell you, they will test to see if you're salty. And if you give them a reason to show you're not, you will never get that opportunity again with them. Ever. Ever. And Jesus says, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. He says, "You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And I got to tell you, I believe for one of the first times in my entire life that the church has lost a lot of light in our world. And people just look right by it. And see it as a dimly lit part of society, not the thing giving light and casting there. We have been called to impact people so that they can see Christ, that Christ brings restoration and heals hearts and binds the broken relationships. You've been called to do something extraordinarily important. The only way we can do this is by having impact and connection with them and never, never, ever giving that up, an impact needlessly. Don't give up. Don't give it up with influence with your spouse. Don't give it up with extended family members. Don't give it up with people at work. Don't give up influence with people in your neighborhood. Don't give it up with people on social media. We have spent so much time with religious legalities and Christian Phariseeism that it has broken and damaged the church's impact that may never, ever recapture the impact that it had. You know why? Because we've looked at stuff and situations and policies rather than we've looked at people. Jesus was never in the policy business. Jesus was in the people business. We talked about that in Radical. Jesus is about people. There's many causes for why people do things and why people are in situations, But Jesus made it very clear, I don't care about the situation. It's your job to reach them. Never, ever give up a potential impact for the kingdom needlessly. I got to tell you something. In this great country, the United States that we live, where we are free and I can express something like I'm doing today, I want to tell you something. Your opinion doesn't matter. Your vote does. You've been given the ability in a country that people would die for in somewhere else to vote. And when I hear people just dismiss it, you forget that many people died to have that right in our country. You forget that people are dying every day and wishing they had that right. We would much rather share our opinions. I love the fact that when people share opinions, and never go and vote, your opinion matters nothing. You are not going to do anything with your opinion. Your vote is what's going to matter. So use it. Use it and use the brain that God gave you to decide whether you want to go Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever you want to do. God has put this church together in a diversity of groups. We talked about it the other week, didn't we? That everybody has a place in the kingdom. Nobody is less valued than anyone else. So often people get in fights and arguments and break relationships and, more importantly, destroy potential impact. And then years later, will never have a reason why they ever did it and not even know why. So why would we go ahead and use something that's going to happen? Guess what? It's going to happen one way or the other, regardless of, you know, what we all think. And guess what? Half of the country is going to be ticked off. So why ruin my impact when all I can use is my vote? President Dwight D. Eisenhower said this: the supreme quality for leadership is unquestionable integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, and no matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office. Many of us cringe when we see that because, if anything, we see a tremendous lack of integrity all over the place this year. From all candidates down to the people going to the voting lines. One last thing I want to share with you, though. When you go, don't try to elect a savior. How about you try to follow and trust the one God provided? There's only one Savior, and I think that's what we do. We want somebody to rescue and save us and come in, like Superman, da-da-da-da, or Superwoman. Here I am. Why are we looking for something that God has already given us? Ultimately, God is in control. We get so enamored with heroes and people that we place our hope and trust in, only to leave ourselves disappointed. Psalm 22:28 says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among nations." As a Christian, I believe in God's promise that one day evil, injustice, oppression, and human suffering will be wiped out. And as I read the scripture, and if I want to borrow a line from Handel's Messiah, "And he shall reign forever and ever. All things will be made new." That's why when we pray part of the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That should be our prayer, to follow and trust the Savior that has been given for us. It's here, Tuesday, November 8th. It's Election Day. It's been a long and very weird, chaotic journey to get to this point. But we have an extraordinary opportunity not only to be part and to take part in a historic election to elect the 45th president of the United States. But guess what? If the election doesn't go my way, because I have my own opinions, remember I told you Jack does, I might be a little bit ticked. I might be a little bit nasty, a little bit annoyed for a little bit. But I'm not going to be irate, because guess what I learned? God is in control. I challenge you to go through the scriptures and find out how many times God used somebody who was a believer and wasn't a believer, and he held the heart and he brought his purposes around. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. God can make a way. As a Christian, we do have this opportunity to showcase our political diversity in a way that honors God as we are diverse. If we get this right, we can impact this world for Christ like never before. But if we get this wrong, we will be just like every other community of Christians. Like every other church and Christian, talking about love for each other, yet have that being no different than any other group. Be intentional about putting your faith before politics, by putting people first. Because, I want to share this with you, because red or blue states, left or right, you're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. Please stand as we move to our prayer time. Lord God, yes, red or blue states, left or right, we're all precious in your sight. You love us so much. And God, I want to ask for forgiveness for the church universal that has said, I love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And yet, God, in the midst of that, we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Matter of fact, when our neighbor puts up a sign, we want to tear it down. When our neighbor puts up a sign, we want to spray paint it. When a neighbor says something, we don't want to talk to them, and we want to put up fences and trees and everything else. And God, I ask for forgiveness for me and for the church universal. God, you are not fazed by what's going to happen this Tuesday or if it goes on until the beginning of the year, whatever it ends. God, oh, please, if it keeps on going, come quickly, Lord Jesus, please. But we know that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And God, if we give full allegiance to anything else but you, we are missing the point. I thank you for this wonderful country that we are born into and that many of us live in now and are being part of, that we have a freedom where we can share. And yeah, we got problems. But I just ask that we as Christian people will embrace your word, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will heal their land. So God, heal our land. Thank you for preserving this text and these words for us today. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have this opportunity to be part of this republic and be part of it. Thank you for the opportunity to vote and express our vote that way. But ultimately, God, we will not give up our influence. And where we've lost our saltiness or our light, God, I pray that you'll bring it back once again. So that the church can be a light in this world. So now at this time, God, I'm going to ask our Stephen ministers to be up front. And if anybody wants to come and pray, they can go pray. We commit this nation to you. You aren't surprised what's going to happen. But God, let us seek you in all things. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen.
Thank you. this darkness, no other hand that can save. Forever faithful, your love is stronger. I trust in no other name. Yeah. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. You are my life. May you be lifted high. There is no my story, you're my everything, you are my glory, my God and my King, you are my rock, and you never change, you never change, no, you never change.
Song, right? You're my rock and you never change. Everything else changes, but the Lord stays the same, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear at all. So here's what I'm going to do for you today. You guys get a choice. You have to sit here and listen to this all the time, all right? So for the last message of this week, I had two that I had to decide on. And we're going to do this the Democratic way because we're going to vote, all right? Okay, so I'm going to get you in the mood for Tuesday. Here we go. So the first one is going to be about my purpose. Anybody want to talk about how do I find my purpose in life? The next one is, how do I deal with stress? All right, yeah, two good ones. See why I couldn't deal with it? I was stressed about it, okay? So here we go. How many of you want to do finding my purpose? Raise your hand. Okay. How many want to do, what did I say, the other one? Stress. How many say stress? Let's try it again. Stress. Raise your hand. Purpose. All right, we'll have stressful purpose next week, okay? There we go. Some of you didn't vote, okay? Remember I said vote, okay? Have an awesome week in the Lord, and I just pray that God will, you know what, God's got everything in control. Have an awesome week. Hug somebody, high five. Republicans, find the Democrat. Hug them around the neck. There we go.